You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will hear from Jim Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns, from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Let's go to our guy Chevy in New Jersey. Chevy, how are you on this Friday?
Chevy there?
Chevy. Do we have Chevy or no? All right, we'll go to Al from Rocky River. Welcome to the show, Al.
Hello.
What's up, man?
Well, all the things you talk about, discipline and adjustments and the attention to detail, it's all on the coaching. Defense is on the coaching. Mike Pettine reminds me somewhere between Dr. Ben Carson and Jeb Bush. I don't think he'll motivate a dog to do anything. He's got to go.
It's tough, and Matt, you know, when you have a team that is consistently committing the kind of mistakes that the Browns are committing, you said yourself that's on the coaching, position coaches, and also you said speaks to the fact that you believe maybe the players are not as bought in because that's something that they would clean up?
Yeah, I agree to a certain extent, and you know what, right now, and I hate to say it this way, because it almost seems like every single loss is a little bit different than the last one. And it's the, you know, kind of like the picture that you draw of like that sinking ship. And the second you put that cork in one of your holes in your boat, another one pops open. And then you stick a cork in that one, and then another one pops open. Because it's the defense one week and their inability to get off the field. And then it's the offense the other week, and we can't run the football or we turn the football over. And then it's the special teams, you know. And it's just very difficult to me. And so I think it's a conglomerate right now. And everybody in this locker room that's associated with that product that you put on the field for 60 minutes, both the coaches and players, have to be accountable and know that what they're doing, A, is not good enough, and then B, I think they have to look at themselves and then look back at those coaches and go, well, how do we fix this? And you have to be open-minded, even at 2-7, to say, what can I personally do? Okay, if the team is this, I'm still a professional, I'm still a Cleveland Brown, and whether I'm here next year or not, what can I do right now to extend my career? And in some cases, if you get enough guys being accountable to the fact that paycheck comes whether you win or lose, what can I do to maintain that I am in good standing with this organization? And in some cases, you have to get a little bit selfish. And I hate to say that, but at 2-7, you got to look at yourself. And if you get enough guys doing it, hopefully the product on the field changes.
216-578-0850. And listen, at the end of the day, guys who have physical mistakes, you don't want that. You're a professional, so you don't want to see like that lack of execution.
But those happen.
That's different to
that's
me
football.
Than the mental mistakes. They happen. And Taylor Gabriel's got to pick himself up and come back because, quite frankly, they need Taylor Gabriel to get back to being Taylor Gabriel, who's averaging 17 yards a catch and making big plays last year. And they need that for this offense right now in the worst possible way. 216-578-0850, Jeff in Canton, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me. I tell you what seems to be becoming more apparent is, yes, there is a deficit in talent with the players on the team, but what's a greater deficit is the coaching ability. I mean, the game plans don't seem to make any sense. There's no in-game adjustments. I mean, you talk about Benjamin getting jammed to the line of scrimmage. Okay, then move the slot receiver to the line and have Benjamin step off so he's got some separation between him and the DB. Matt, you're a very fine football player in the NFL. Would you like to have to be the guy to jam Travis Benjamin with a running start at you? I mean, he's a quick guy. He's going to get around you. There's no play progression. The reverse that Mohamed Sanu took to the house for a touchdown, they ran that end-around look a couple of times. One, I think they ran a dive and maybe a trap play off of it, and they set that play up. So the Browns bit on it. Boom, he's wide open. Filippo gets DeFilippo seems to get a free pass, but there's no offense in the second half. Yeah, they put up lots of yards, and they look good. There's enough players on this team to win ball games, but where's the advanced play progressions in the second half to really take advantage of what the team's doing? I don't see those adjustments. To me, the problem, I agree with the earlier caller, is completely in the coaching ability and the game planning. It doesn't make sense. I don't see players being put into position to make plays. These guys got to pick it up or get out of here.
I agree, and thank you very much for the call.
They've got to figure out a way, and – How many go – take us in the locker room, because, you know, you talk coaches about and they say it's so quick at halftime, there aren't really time for adjustments, but it certainly would seem that the last three games you've seen good teams make quality halftime adjustments, the Browns not, and that's why they've lost the second half 55-3. There has to be something to that. I know it's only 12 minutes, but it seems like those 12 minutes are benefiting the other side of the field significantly more than they're benefiting the Cleveland Browns.
They do, and that's something I talked about last night on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network post-game show with Dustin Fox and Jeff Phelps. And I just mentioned, you know, something that I always talk about, you know, when I was back at Ohio State, A, you knew you had superior talent in most cases, and B, you knew you had superior coaching. And even when you got played close by a team that you essentially should roll over in the first half, what I always knew and what I took from it was that our coaches were going to have us prepped and ready to take what they were doing to us and have us go out and out-execute the other team and make it the runaway that it should have been. And in some cases, there's plenty of time. And just focusing on last night, and the caller made a great point, you got to figure how many offensive plays did we even have in the second half? I mean, it was limited to what, 20 or less? Where we saw
in the second half?
Yeah. And we saw the Cincinnati Bengals, and I pointed it out, you know, the zone read and what they did off of that zone read. You saw Andy Dalton, A, give it up to the running back in the zone read. You saw him, A, give it up and fake – or I'm sorry, not fake it to the running back, then fake it on the reverse or fake a throw. They threw the slant off it. They threw the sluggo off of it. And then Andy Dalton even had to keep it the one time, which was a tackle for a loss on him, I believe, by Nate Orchard. But it was very complimentary. Everything they did, they had so much success early. They had the momentum going that Hugh Jackson truly had a feel for what he was getting out of the Cleveland Browns that he was able to get. And I would say, in regards to the alphabet, you know, They showed play A that allowed them to show play B that allowed them to show play B, and they got in, and the reverse and the sluggo, the slant and go by Eifert are D and E in that progression, where for us, we're taking things game to game. We're just trying to, you know, recreate something, some little bit of momentum that we don't have enough success offensively that we even get into any of our complementary looks to use our plays and setting up a play as an advantage for the Cleveland Browns.
Every single drive that the Cincinnati Bengals had in the second half produced more yards. Every single individual drive that the Cincinnati Bengals had in the second half produced more yards than the Cleveland Browns produced in the entirety of the second half. Now, keep in mind, the Browns offense generated 27 yards of offense in the second half. 25 of them came on that last drive after the punt block with no time left when the game was over. First drive of the second half, 3 plays, 9 yards, punt. Second drive, 3 plays, 6 yards, punt. Third drive, 3 plays, -13 yards, punt. So after that, and
so
then the fourth drive,
right,
3 plays, no yards, punt. So four drives, netting 2 yards of offense. That is borderline impossible to do in the National Football League.
It is impossible to do. And I don't. How do you even comment about that?
It's bad. That's the comment. Yeah. Unacceptable. Rob and Alliance, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I've got a couple points. First of all, our roster, comparing it to Cincinnati, they said on TV last night that, 46 out of their 50 non-special team players are from the Power 5 conferences. And you look at our rosters, and it's a lot less. They also I don't know, our coaches tend to want to be the smartest guys in the room. And just like you said about Amani Bryant covering a wide receiver, what the heck is that? I mean, we need to look at it. I hate to blow it up, but we need to look at it, maybe getting like a Mike White from Atlanta who's been through the rebuilding process. Somebody that would have respect, get him in here and see what he could do.
I think Mike Smith is who you're talking about, and I certainly would say, you know, his tenure didn't end very well. And after watching him on Hard Knocks, that's not somebody that I would endorse, because I think that he's not the kind of leader you need. But that's all premature talk. We've got a coaching staff right here, right now. They've got to do a better job at what they're doing. And if they don't, you know, then maybe those discussions happen. But certainly I love working with Mike Pettine, and I hope that he figures out how to figure this out, and so that the Browns can turn it around and have this season be, you know, salvaged. Because right now it is headed in a bad place. As far as the talent roster, let's keep in mind that the Browns the year before, okay, the year that the Browns went 4-12, the year before Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine took over, they sent 6 players to the Pro Bowl that season, which was tied for most in the National Football League with the Kansas City Chiefs. Six players went to the Pro Bowl for that season. Since then, you've had four first-round picks, two second-round picks, and four third-round picks. Forget the rest of the draft. So you had 1.6 Pro Bowlers, and you added 10 picks in the first three rounds of the next two NFL drafts, not to mention you've signed Carlos Dansby, Dante Whitner, Andrew Hawkins. You've signed this year Randy Starks, Tremont Williams, Josh McCown, Brian Hartline, Dwayne Bowe. Okay? There is no reason why the talent on this team should not be at least in the middle of the pack in the National Football League, if not better.
Right.
There's no reason when you have six Pro Bowlers and have the opportunity to add four first-rounders, two second-rounders, and four third-rounders in two drafts, not to mention your free agent spend because you had the most room under the cap, that you should not have a roster that is in the top half of the league. And it is very difficult, based on the results, to say that that's where the Browns are.
Which, to me, says, two things. There's questions with their coaching, or something is wrong with our process.
When you're at where you are right now in the National Football League, I think everything's got to be questioned on some level. And it's going to be up to the guys who have a hand in this to turn it around and to figure out a way to make, you know, the last seven games of this season significantly better than the first nine. Let's go to Johnny in Pittsburgh. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Just to touch on that last stat that you just threw out, Nathan, those four of those six Pro Bowlers, with the exception of Thomas and Mack, were brought in by Tom Heckert. And I just think that's interesting, since Ray Farmer's had a lot of opportunity and hasn't brought in my opinion, a ton of talent. But that's actually not what I was calling. I was calling to ask Matt, what would he do to fix this defense, being a former player, and why can't we make in-game adjustments and then game-to-game adjustments?
Good point. And then again, we're gonna have to get a break here after your call, and I'll give you a quick answer. I think it's too late to do anything drastic enough to truly make a difference, because you would essentially have to install new techniques, new alignments, new disciplines within that scheme. So what can be fixed right now is essentially a band-aid, which is going to be makeshift, which will ultimately break down even if you're executing it to a T, because it's all very new to you. So it's something that's going to have to be redone in the offseason. You obviously are going to change your personnel, and you need to change the scheme. That's the only way to fix it in my eyes.
A lot's got to be done. Because when you can't stop the run, you can't pressure the quarterback. You can't win. And maybe you can do it for a little while. As we've seen the last 2 weeks, you've been okay for a half here or there. But you can't do it over 60 minutes in the NFL. These guys are too good. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will have maybe a quick call. And then Jim Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, at 2 o'clock.